Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 64 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. They are located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to be talking a lot of football today as we're nearing the midway point of the high school regular season. The Class 4A schools have completed the non-district portion of their schedule, and they're going to begin district play on Friday. Later on, we'll be visiting with one of Ankeny's assistant coaches as well as a Hawk player to preview Friday's big showdown against six-time defending state champion Dowling Catholic. We'll also be visiting with an Ankeny resident who is a member of the Dowling coaching staff to get his perspective on the matchup against the Hawks as well as the Maroons' victory over Ankeny Centennial last week. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is in his seventh season as the co-head coach at Centennial, and he's helped guide the Jaguars to a 3-1 record thus far. He is Ryan Pizzetti. Ryan, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
You bet. Well, you guys are obviously coming off a tough loss to Dowling. I know you said after the game that your team had no excuses. You just got your butt kicked. But you guys have certainly had to deal with some key injuries, most notably to Avery Gates and Brady Peterson. So let's begin with a quick injury update. Brady did return for the game against Dowling, but he didn't appear to be 100%. You know, did he come out of the game okay?
You know what? He did. We talked after the game. He was a little timid as the game went on, and he feels better this week going into things than he did last week. Avery has practiced a little bit this week. We're hoping that he can play a little bit on Friday, getting ready for district play.
Well, Tyler Johnson has certainly done a nice job of filling in for Avery. He's rushed for 391 yards through the first four games. You know, if you can get Avery back in the lineup, it looks like you'll have a nice 1-2 punch with those two guys.
You know what? We're real excited about our backfield. If we can get everybody healthy, we've had some kids step in and do a very nice job, but whenever you have Avery Gates on the sideline, we would like to have him back at 100% when that time comes.
Well, let's briefly recap the Dowling game before we look ahead. The Maroons got a boost from the return of running back Gavin Williams, who rushed for 150 yards in his Dowling debut. Now, the Maroons were already good without him, but, boy, he just gave them a different dimension, didn't he?
Oh, he's outstanding. They have a nice quarterback that can run. They already had a nice running back that was one of the top five in the state as far as statistics go. And then when you add Gavin Williams into the mix, it really makes them multidimensional in the run game. In the pass game, they're consistent, but they really didn't need to. And, you know, that's not what they want to do. When they did get the run game going in the second half, it was very tough on us.
Well, you mentioned the Dowling quarterback. That's Hank Himrick, who actually outrushed Williams. He had 158 yards and three touchdowns. I was really impressed with his running ability. He's just really elusive, isn't he?
He really is. You know, the first run he had on us that he broke was it was a sprint out pass. We had a little breakdown on the cutback lane, and then he had a nice run on their sideline into the boundary on an outside zone play. So he's very elusive. He's a lot stronger runner than you think he would be by looking at him. But they do a nice job spreading you out, running the ball, and doing some unique things.
Well, conversely, your offense struggled to move the ball consistently in that game. Your quarterback, Hayes Gibson, completed 4 of 16 passes for 68 yards and a touchdown. But I actually thought he threw the ball really well. You know, he made some nice throws on some plays that were there, but your receivers just had a tough night with a few drops, didn't they?
Oh, absolutely. I think that was Hayes' best game playing for us this year. I believe we had 5 drops, and 2 of them could possibly have been touchdowns. But you know what? In big games, you need to pull those down. We didn't on that night, and we had a good week of practice with our receivers and our entire team. We're excited to be out there again on Friday.
Well, even though you guys didn't get the outcome you wanted, you know, I'm sure your ultimate goal is to knock off Dowling in the playoffs because, you know, that's something that nobody's been able to do since 2012. Your team was able to beat Dowling in each of the last two regular seasons. But, of course, the Maroons came back, you know, to beat you guys in the semifinals in 2017. And then last year you guys, you know, never got a chance to play them again. So I'm sure you'd really like to meet them again this year, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, state titles go through Dowling anymore. That's just the way it is. They have another outstanding team, and just like you said, with the addition of Gavin Williams, it just boosts their capabilities even that much more. We know to take care of us, number one, to get healthy, going into district play. You know, Marshalltown being undefeated, and then Southeast Polk a week from now, and then Fort Dodge. So we know our season is just going to get tougher. As we do get healthy, hopefully we can get some momentum going in those playoffs and make a run at this thing.
Well, let's look ahead to district play. You mentioned those next three opponents, and the one after that is Roosevelt. Those four teams currently have a combined record of 14-2. You know, do you think maybe your district is a lot tougher than maybe you thought going into the season?
You know what? We knew it would be a tough district. to this degree. I don't think anybody imagined the records being what they are at this point in time. But you know what? It's Iowa high school football. I think there's a lot of parity this year. You got the Dallings, the Valleys, and the traditional top teams. But then there's a lot of teams like Roosevelt that are being right there with us. They played Ankeny really tough last Friday. So we know we got our work cut out for us, and every week's going to be a dogfight.
Well, let's talk about Marshalltown. The Bobcats are off to a 4-0 start for the first time since 2009. I did notice, though, with their schedule, though, that their record may be a reflection of that schedule. Their four wins have come against Des Moines North, Ottumwa, Mason City, and Ames, and those four teams have combined for just one win. Is it kind of hard to get a read on the Bobcats?
You know what? They're very good. They have a nice quarterback defensively. They have some very nice defensive linemen. Anytime you play at their place, it's an east-west field. It's a very unique place to play. It's going to be a tough go for us, but we're excited. We want to get off on the right foot and see the improvement we've made this week.
Well, it seems like that field is always torn up too, isn't it?
It is. It's a grass field. You know, that's we don't play on those very often anymore, but we're excited.
Well, it does look like they have a pretty balanced offense. Their quarterback, Brendan Bates, is throwing for 426 yards and 9 touchdowns, while running backs Cabba Pins and Carson Bills have combined for 663 yards on the ground. So you really can't focus on stopping the run or the pass, can you?
No, they're really balanced offensively and defensively. They're very consistent, I'd like to say. So we're just going to have to come out and do what we do, see where we stand, and hopefully we can put some good things together.
Well, I'm sure one of your goals now is to win the district title, or at the very least win as many games as you can in order to get the highest seed possible for the playoffs, you know, because if you want to go on a long postseason run, you know, it really helps to have a higher seed, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. You know, last year, you know, we went into the playoffs with the one seed, but playing a 16 seed like Southeast Polk, I think that was more than a curse of anything because we knew how capable they were. Same thing this time around. You know, there's a lot of teams that their record might not indicate how competitive they are, and when you go into the playoffs and you start seeding 1 through 16, you start blending the whole state together. It's going to be very interesting, and you know, you really don't have a choice who you play or when you play or where you play, and our goal is to get healthy. Be playing our best football exiting week 9, and hopefully we're around for this in the end.
Well, I don't think they've put out any RPI rankings yet, but if you guys are able to run the table and finish 8-1, do you think that would put you in line, you know, for a possible top 2 or 3 seed?
You know what? It's interesting how that works. You know, I guess when you look at our schedule and our opponent's record at this point in our district, and just like you said, 14-2 for those teams that you mentioned, and then you look at our opponents, and how that formula works. I could see our seed possibly being high, but taking care of ourselves and making sure we win these games going forward is the number one priority.
All right, Ryan. Well, good luck on Friday night, and thanks a lot for coming in tonight.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest's premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you are looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my next guest is a senior linebacker for the Jaguars. He currently leads the team with 26.5 tackles after 4 games, and he's also a 2-time state place winner for the Centennial Wrestling Team, as well as a pitcher and a first baseman on the Jaguars baseball squad. He is Logan Neals. Logan, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, you had 2 solo tackles and 8 assists in Friday's loss to Dowling, and you spent a lot of time on the field as the Maroons, you know, had a few long drives in that game. Were you pretty tired afterwards?
Yeah, we got our work in, especially in the second half. Some of those drives got really long.
Well, we talked with Coach Ryan about Gavin Williams, you know, returning to Dowling's lineup and what he brought to their offense. You know, I thought he ran the ball even harder than he did last year. What's it like trying to tackle that guy?
He comes at you a lot harder than we thought he would. We were expecting him to be a little timid after 4 weeks off, but he came out and got after it.
Yeah, he didn't look injured, did he?
No.
And, of course, the Dowling quarterback had a big game as well. He ran for 3 touchdowns. Hemrick was pretty tough to bring down too, wasn't he?
Yeah, we had been focused on Gavin, and then the quarterback showed up and showed that he could run the ball too.
Well, Dowling is obviously a team that likes to control the line of scrimmage and use their running game to wear down opposing defenses. They only attempted 7 passes in Friday's game. You know, you're a guy, though, because of your wrestling background, you know, you like that physical contact. Do you like playing against a team like that that really challenges you physically?
Yeah, I do. I love it when teams just want to run it up the middle and see how that goes. There's just nothing better than that. That's old school football.
Yeah, I figured you'd like that. Well, you guys are 3-1 at this point heading into district play. I know you'd rather be 4-0, but obviously you have some bigger goals out there that you can still accomplish. You know, as Jerry Pizzetti always likes to say, everything is still in front of us, right?
Yep, that's right.
And now you guys get to go to Marshalltown to face the unbeaten Bobcats. You know, I'm sure you've already been preparing for them. So what's going to be the key to Friday's game?
They have a few plays. They run them really, really well. We're expecting there to be no mistakes on their end. So we're just going to have to show up, do what we do, and control the line of scrimmage.
Well, I know your team's ultimate goal is to get back to the Unidome and potentially get another shot at Dowling. Last year you guys went 9-0 in the regular season and earned the number one seed for the playoffs, you know, only to lose to Southeast Polk in the opening round. You know, did that loss provide a lot of motivation for you guys in the offseason?
Yeah, all of us that were juniors on last year's team, we were standing there after the game, and we didn't want that to be us. We wanted to work. We didn't want to have our season end like that after getting the one seed and losing first round.
We're obviously one of the more experienced guys on the team. You know, have you tried to be a leader for the defense this year?
A little bit. There's not very many young guys. It's a lot of seniors out there, and they don't need led too much. A lot of them know the right things to do and get after it.
We do have, you know, some guys on the defensive line like Lucas Pieper, Ethan Frazier, and Jaden Cooper who can really get after the quarterback. You know, do they make your job easier?
They do. A lot of them take up 2, sometimes even 3 blockers, and it leaves me open to go get those big hits, me and Dez.
Now, I noticed this year you're wearing, number 33 after wearing number 34 last season. So what was the reason for the switch?
I wanted number 33 last year, but we had a senior go and take it, and seniors get first pick. So I was okay with 34, and then this year I made sure I went and got 33.
All right. We also wanted to talk a little wrestling with you. You were ranked number 48 in the Iowa Wrestle preseason Fab 50 rankings of the top 50 wrestlers in Iowa. You know, it's certainly a nice honor for you. What was your reaction to making the list?
Oh, it was really surprising because they take in a lot of big tournaments that I don't do because they're off-season tournaments. And that was just surprising to me that I still made the list with that.
Well, of course, you placed second in Class 3A at 170 pounds last year. You know, I know your goal is to win a state title this year. Do you feel like it's your time?
I do. I feel like I can go out there and get it this year.
Now, what weight class do you think you're going to be wrestling at?
I think I'll be back at 170.
170, all right. Now, have you looked at any schools yet? I assume you're looking to wrestle in college.
Yeah, I'm keeping my options open to wrestling in college.
All right. Well, Coach Pizzetti was just telling me that you got a 32 on your ACT, so what do you plan to study in college?
I'd like to go into either biochemistry or maybe chemical engineering.
Well, that's a little bit above my pay grade, so. But it sounds like you're well-equipped to handle it, Logan. So, well, hey, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, cool sculpting, laser hair removal, forever young photofacials, halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. And on Thursday night, Revive is going to be having their big fall bash. They're going to be having live music along with free beer and all kinds of giveaways going on there. So stop by at Revive on Thursday night. All right, my next guest is in his 15th season as an assistant coach for Dowling Catholic, and he's also an Ankeny resident. He coaches the Maroons offensive line and has played a key role in the team's current run of 6 consecutive state titles. You may also recognize his voice as a color commentator for the Central Iowa Sports Network during basketball season and other sports as well. He is Andy Pollack. Andy, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. Excited to be up here. Beautiful facilities and really cool place. I love everything about Prairie Trail and everything we've got going on down here right now.
Yeah, we enjoy being here. Well, Andy, that was certainly an impressive win for you guys on Friday. Your team had lost to Centennial in each of the previous 2 regular seasons. You know, do you think your guys are pretty motivated?
It's interesting. I think, yeah, as coaches, we definitely were motivated in a program, and this is very common amongst a lot of the top programs really around the state. You're very senior dominated, so you lose out on, you know, 90% of your guys that played last year in a game that you lost. So as coaches, you know, Centennial certainly has the respect of us as a staff. And it's, you know, a lot of preparation went into what happened on Friday night for us this year with based on, yeah, what's happened the last couple of years. So definitely more of a coach thing than I think a player thing with that.
Well, with the return of Gavin Williams to your lineup, you know, that was a potent three-headed monster of a rushing attack that you guys unveiled as Gavin and quarterback Hank Hemrick and Tegan Johnson combined to rush for nearly 400 yards in the game. You know, were you surprised to have that much success on the ground against a pretty stout Centennial defense?
I think those numbers are probably a little bit skewed in the fact that we had a lot of explosive plays during the course of that game. Our average looks really good because of that with what they've had. But they really did a nice job of bottling us up a lot. But we were able to be explosive at key times in that. And I think that was the key. That's in the games that we've had success against them, those explosive plays have helped out a ton. They're a team that you can't always just drive the ball against. You're not going to put together 10, 12, 14-play drives against Centennial's defense. There's just too many types of guys coming at you from all angles that they can put you in a bad situation. So the explosive play certainly helped us out on Friday night.
Of course, this was Gavin's debut for the Maroons after transferring from Southeast Polk and then missing the first three games due to an injury. You know, what did you think of his performance?
Gavin's a special talent. We've never had a Division I caliber running back on our roster. He's a great leader. He's been a great kid. Nothing but positive things to say about him from the moment that he came into our program. He's a kid that, with his injury, you know, over the course of the last month, even when he wasn't playing, set a great example by how hard he was working in the weight room and just on the bike and everything that he could do there. Also a great coach on the field, really a smart football player, understands the game, understands what we're trying to do as a scheme within an offense. His debut looked really good. I mean, he can cover up a lot of deficiencies as an offensive line when you've got a running back like that. And that's not to take anything away. I mean, Tegan Johnson has been a nothing but good, great player for us. I mean, he was the one that won us a state title last year. I mean, he carried us to a state title game. I believe was either the leading rusher or second leading rusher in the state coming into the game on Friday night. It's probably still up there quite a ways. But the fact of the matter is we weren't going to accomplish what we want to accomplish this year with Tegan getting 30 carries a game. He wasn't going to stay healthy doing that. And we're having Gavin back. And then also, like you said, Hank had a great night running the football. And that certainly gives us another weapon in what he can do with his feet.
Well, as the offensive line coach, you know, I'm sure you'd like to credit those big guys for much of the team's, you know, rushing success as well. You want to give those guys a shout-out or brag about them a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I better do that for a little while. You know, this is a unique crew. It's a very smart, football-savvy type crew. They're a bunch of little brothers. and it's true. Every one of those guys, as we look across the board, Charlie Nank, my left tackle, is the youngest of four brothers, and he's one of the small ones in the group, and he's about 6'4". 290 is a small one in the group. Charlie's going to continue on playing college football at Miami University out in Oxford, Ohio, with his brother Pete, who's starting at guard out there. Charlie's older brothers were college athletes, which is interesting. One of his brothers played for Coach Nelson at Ankeny, or at UNI when Coach Nelson was there. So those families are very familiar with each other. At my left guard, Pete Ryan is a guy whose two older brothers played for me as well. Great family. I think they both had an opportunity to win a state title playing for us. Nolan Sennett is my center. He would say that he got beat on by his older sister a lot growing up. Jake Olson, my right guard, this last week. Jake's done a great job filling in as we've had a couple injuries on the offensive line. But Jake is the youngest one of two older brothers as well. And then my right tackle, Ryan Bowles, has two brothers that are playing Division I football. Has a sister that's going to be a Division I basketball player someday. Ryan will have a chance to have his college paid for him in that regard. And I give these guys a hard time. I was the oldest of four boys growing up. And so you can just see the mentality. These are the younger brothers. They have something to prove in what they've got. And then Tyler Stein's a guy that I will get back this week. Tyler's been out with an illness, and he's 6'7", 260. So it'll be nice to have a body like his fit back into the offensive line. And then I've got Andrew Lynch, my junior tight end in his second year starting for us. And Andrew's a really, really athletic kid who I thought played the best game of his career on Friday night, really allowed us to do some things in the run game that we have not been able to do in the past.
Well, you guys have had a brutal schedule thus far, going 3-1 against Waukee Valley, Johnston, and Centennial. And it won't get any easier this Friday as you'll be returning to Ankeny to open up a district play against the Hawks. You know, what are your impressions of the Hawks? They look like one of the state's most improved teams, don't they?
Yeah, I would say that they're a good team. I don't know if I'd go with most improved because we sure had a lot. They sure caught our eye last year. we really thought they were a good squad. I think we just kind of caught them on a bad night, and some things went really good for us early on in that game and didn't go so well for them. They've got a lot of talent. I look at their defense a lot with what they've got in their offense. They've got the stars on their offense, but I think what really makes them go is the guys on the front side of their defense. We can talk about those guys a little bit too down the road, but I just think those guys are very talented. The staff, you know, it's a talented staff. I think they're starting to see the fruits of some of their labor of what they put into things up here. But they do a lot of things schematically wise on their defense that make it tough on you as an offensive coach.
Sure. Well, I know Roosevelt elected to double team Brody Brecht in last Friday's game, and they were able to hold him without a catch, but that allowed Jordan Cum to go off for 8 catches and 173 yards. So you kind of have to pick your poison, you know, and how you defend their offense, right?
And even more scary than that is they were starting able to run the football on Friday night as well. And Kadoff, I think I'm saying that last name correctly, you know, goes for over 100 yards. I think that's the first time this year they've had that. And that's a piece that I think can really make their offense scary if they can find their rushing attack. We're all familiar. I mean, Jordan Cum's been a talented athlete on the basketball court. We've all seen that before. Played receiver for them a year ago. And obviously Brody, you know, elite athlete in the state of Iowa right now. So there's a lot of weapons they can come at you with. Bauer as a quarterback is starting to, you know, a year ago, I'm not sure he had that touch to complete those long balls. And you're starting to see, especially in scramble situations, he's deadly with his feet and with his arm.
When you mentioned Ankeny's defense, their three linebackers are their leading tacklers right now. You know, they've got some guys that can really fly to the ball, you know, don't they?
The linebackers are the ones that get the credit, and maybe as a line coach I'm a little biased, but I think there are three guys up front in their 3-4 look are incredibly talented. Jack Krebs is probably one of the most talented defensive linemen that we've seen so far, and we've seen some good ones. At least numbers-wise, he backs it up, gets to the quarterback, very disruptive. McMullen there at the nose guard spot. In their scheme, forces you to go one-on-one with him all night long, and so far he's won a lot more of those battles than he's lost. And then you've got, I can't think of the 55. I can't think of his name at the moment. It is Connor Rainey as well.
Yeah.
He would go up against the right side of our line. But those three as a whole do a good job. They're very disruptive. They force the cuts to be made in the backfield by your backs. They get back there and they just make stuff happen. And it really takes a lot of pressure off the linebackers, who then are able to fly around and keep the offensive linemen off them and make a lot of plays.
Well, even though this is your district opener, you know, I think a lot of people are looking at this game, you know, as a showdown for the district title. And I know you guys don't like to look too far ahead, you know, but this is a game, you know, that could be the one that decides it, right?
You mentioned the brutal schedule, and yeah, we're right now, I think most people would probably say that as you look at it, that this is how things are going to be, that this is probably the district championship game. I will say this, we don't take anybody lightly. I had a coach tell me a long time ago, when you're trying to win a championship, every game's a title game, and I really believe that. We've tried to take that mentality with us throughout our careers here at Dowling Catholic, but this is certainly going to be a tough game. They just provide so many opportunities to tackle you for loss. They get you in bad situations on their defense. The offense is explosive, like you said, with those receivers. And if they're able to find that running game again, that Ankeny team is going to make some noise throughout the rest of the year.
Well, after this Friday's game, you guys will close out the season with games against Lincoln, Sioux City East, Hoover, and Sioux City North. And if you guys don't overlook any of those teams, you know, it would be a monumental upset for any of those teams, you know, to beat you guys. So I'm sure you'll use those four games maybe to help prepare you for the postseason. And obviously in the last 6 years, you know, Coach Wilson has done a great job of getting you guys, you know, to peak for the postseason. You know, does he have some sort of magic formula or something that he uses?
I think the coach speak would be to say that we try to outwork everybody, but I think every coach would try to tell you that same thing. It's a combination of a bunch of different factors. We've got a lot of good kids, a lot of great support from the school there. One of the things, if you look at our last 6 state title games, even if you go back to 2010 and that state title team, if you watch the makeup of each of those teams or watch the championship game, you're going to see a different team, a very different, as the way we attack people offensively, even defensively to a certain extent. One thing that Coach Wilson does, and even, you know, talk about our quarterbacks, Coach Craig McLean, our wide receivers coach Ryan Van Veen, really good at scheming guys up and realizing what we're good at. I think we go into every year thinking we're going to do this, and if you watch a game from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, we're very different. I mean, we, you know, 3 years ago, we throw 4 passes total in a semifinal game. Unheard of for what we've done before. I think you look at other years, we're close to 30, and then anywhere in between. So it's a different makeup of each team, but identifying the strengths of your team and knowing the weaknesses as well, and avoiding the weaknesses and building off the strengths. So I think that's that part. We're not hard-headed. We're trying to win. So we're gonna run what we think gives our kids the best chance to be successful.
Well, Andy, I know you came to Dowling with Coach Wilson 15 years ago, but your history with him goes back even farther than that. Can you tell our audience a little bit about, you know, your previous ties with Coach Wilson?
Well, he reminds me of it quite a bit because my senior year, he was a coach at Dyke New Hartford. I was a young pup at Applington Parkersburg playing my senior year in his second year there, and they upset us on our home field, and I joke that he still has grass chunks that he has framed from that game because it was a big win for them, and they actually went on to be state runners up by 1 point that year in his one of his first years back here coaching the state of Iowa. So I've known Tom for a long time from that in that regard. Didn't like him at all at that point. And it gets brought up quite a bit, the rivalry between Dyke New Hartford and Applington Parkersburg. It's still a rivalry today. We really enjoy the banter that goes back and forth with that. I then covered him for several years working local radio up in that area and got to know him there doing some work for KWWL. And yeah, he came down here, got the job. He was really good friends with Ed Thomas. Called Ed, asked if he knew anybody that could help with his offensive line. I got the phone call. Thought I might be something fun to do for a couple of years, and here I am 15 seasons later, and we've had a blast.
Well, and it's amazing that you've coached that offensive line with Jim Williams, the legendary Dowling coach who came out of retirement in 2005, you know, to coach with you, and he's still coaching to this day. You know, what's it been like to coach with him all these years?
So I've said this many times before, but Coach Williams has forgot a lot more about football than I'll ever know. I think he's been coaching longer than I've been alive. Wow. Yeah, I know he has. I know for a fact he has. But the one thing that we found out in learning from him is that the more the game of football seems to evolve, we're almost devolving back to a lot of stuff that he has done in the 70s, early 80s. One of the best things about him is the stories that he's got of the players that he coached, especially in his time at Iowa State, and some of the great road trips that they had, and some of the recruiting stories of near misses that they had at Iowa State as well. So it's been great, a huge learning experience. When Tom told me that I'd have a chance to coach with Jim Williams at the time, I just knew him as the head coach at Simpson. I knew the history, knew him as an offensive line guy, but he's got the line calls that he's got. We joke that we have to change him up basically every week because we're probably going against a former player of his coaching on the other side, or heck, it seems like every official that we have either has officiated against, I shouldn't say officiated against, that's a horrible way to word it, but officiated for him when he was coaching at Simpson or was a player for him at some point. And now he's to the point where there's grandkids and great grandkids of guys that have played for him are now in the program.
Oh,
so it's he's been around for a long time and still brings an energy. He has an aura about him. We joke that he controls the weather. The players joke about that all the time. And he's got some great one-liners that he's developed over the course of the last 50-some years that he's been coaching as well.
When you mentioned playing at Applington Parkersburg for another legendary coach, Ed Thomas, who, of course, was tragically murdered, about 10 years ago. Is it hard to believe, he's been gone that long?
Yeah, for sure. My brother actually is the head coach there right now, and that helps me stay in tune with everything that's going on up there. I had a little bit different relationship with Coach as his youngest son, Todd, was one of my best friends growing up. We were college roommates, so not just seeing him as the coach of this at the time, legendary program, but also he is the father of my best friend. And so we got to do a lot more things than just have him chew you out on the football field. An incredible motivator, was ahead of his time when it came to a lot of the strength and conditioning techniques that are implemented today in a lot of things. And so Coach Thomas is a guy that stayed in contact. I remember one of my last conversations with him, told him I thought we had a chance to be pretty good that year. We went on to the state semifinals. It got beat by Marshalltown. So, I mean, those are all great memories that I have, nothing but positive memories of playing for him. The guy never spoke a swear word in his life, at least around us. The practices were run very cleanly. Everything was scheduled. I mean, just a lot of, like I said, a lot of things that were ahead of his time that you see still getting talked about at clinics today.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, Andy, I see on some of your posts on Facebook, and I know you stay really busy, because you got some daughters who are also involved with sports. So is it hard for you to juggle your coaching responsibilities along with being a dad?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I could even say that I juggle them because my wife is a rock star and she handles pretty much all that stuff. My oldest is an eighth grader now at Centennial, or at Northview, part of the Centennial school system. And we're, involved in a lot of stuff, volleyball games during the week. And this is the first weekend I've got three playing softball on the weekend on Saturday morning for Jags Elite and AGSA and Diablos, three different programs. But My wife does a great job this time of year. I'm fortunate. She's more competitive than I am. And so from a football perspective, she understands the time that it takes and what it takes to win. She was a college athlete herself, a very good volleyball player, and she understands what it takes. And we're hoping we can pass some of that down to the girls. Try to get to as many of their events as I can, but they understand, too, that Dad is also coaching out here, and they love coming to the games. You know, getting big hugs from them running up to me after the games is certainly a special feeling. And it was a little weird the other night because for the first time, you know, we're playing Centennial, and after a game, my girls all come running out wearing Centennial gear. So that was a little bit different for me. But it's something I want them to have pride in their school. You know, I want this to be something that I want their school to have a good football program. I want it to be something that they enjoy doing. I have such great memories of great sports programs growing up. And quite honestly, I mean, as having four daughters in the Centennial school system, I can't think of a better place in the state of Iowa that you'd want to have your girls that are playing sports go to with the success and the history that they've got and just some awesome coaches that they've got up here in Centennial as well.
Now, if you had a son that maybe was going to play for Centennial next year and you had to coach against him, would that be a little different
story?
I'm
glad I never had to answer that. I'm glad I don't have to answer that question in a real sense. You know, I've thought about that before. How would things go if I had a son? But, yeah, that's something I'll never have to make that decision. I'm glad I don't have to.
All right, Andy. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Really enjoyed the conversation. Good luck the rest of the season.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
You bet. All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time home buyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender, and you can call Dave at 515-321-5913 for any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, my next guest is a senior wideout for Ankeny, and he's the Hawks' second leading receiver with 13 catches for 277 yards and two touchdowns. He is also a standout guard on the boys' basketball team. He is Jordan Cum. Jordan, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Just fighting a little cold here, but we'll get through this. Well, Jordan, you're coming off the biggest game of your high school football career. You caught eight passes for 173 yards and a touchdown in the win over Roosevelt on Friday. You know, did you ever imagine going into that game that you'd be able to put up those kind of numbers?
I go into every game expecting that I'm going to do that well in every single game. And we basically just watched film and knew they obviously know who Brody Breck is. And we took advantage of that, knowing that they were going to favor his side. So we knew the middle of the field was going to be open.
So was it the middle of the field then where you did most of your damage?
Yeah, basically just some slants and then posts, yeah, and some corners too.
Now, Jordan, you can take some pretty nasty hits when you're going over the middle, you know, and you're not the biggest guy in the field. Do you take a lot of pride in being able to absorb some punishment?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm going to play for my brothers every single play, even if I'm banged up a little bit.
Well, I know you took a pretty hard hit early in the game up there at Cedar Falls a couple weeks ago, and you were slow to get up, but you did return to the game. So did you just get your bell rung a little bit on that play, or what happened?
Yeah, my whole neck cracked, and it just felt funny, so I just stayed down on the ground and let the trainer come out.
Well, I saw where Brody said after Friday's game that, you know, he doesn't understand why you don't already have, you know, a bunch of college offers. You know, did that make you feel good to get a compliment, you know, like that from someone like him?
Of course. I mean, I'm pretty good friends with Brody, so when it comes from him, it means a lot, too.
Well, he's obviously one of the state's top prospects in the class of 2021. You know, what's it like to be part of the same receiving corps with him?
It's great because we push each other in practice every single day, and we help each other on what we need to do better and all that.
Well, I'm sure you're envious, you know, of the size that he has. You know, have you ever thought about, you know, what you could do on the field and on the basketball court if you were 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, he comes out on the court sometimes after the season and throws some dunks down sometimes.
Yeah, I bet he could probably play some pretty good basketball.
Yeah.
Well, your quarterback, Jace Bowers, passed for 779 yards and four touchdowns this season. You know, have you seen a lot of growth, you know, out of him this year?
Oh, for sure. Going into the sophomore year, he was probably a little hesitant. Coming in his junior year, he's gotten a lot bigger and stronger in the weight room, and he's got a lot more confidence, too, this year.
Well, your team has already scored 89 points in four games, which is 31 more than you had scored, you know, at this point last season. You know, is the offense as a whole a lot more confident in what it can do this year?
I think this year our team's a lot more together, and I think that's the reason why we're scoring a lot more is because we trust each other a lot more than we did in previous years.
Now, you guys will open up a district play on Friday by hosting Dowling in what could decide the district title. Last year, your team lost to the Maroons 42-0 at Valley Stadium. You know, do you think this year's team is capable, you know, of going toe-to-toe with the Maroons?
I think we're capable of going toe-to-toe with any team in the state. I believe we can beat everyone in the state. So,
What's going to be the key, you know, to pulling off the upset?
We just got to give our quarterback some protection so he can get the ball off and clearly for them to stop the run with Gavin Williams.
Well, your defense has played very well this year, but they're going to be tested by the Maroons, you know, potent running game, like you mentioned, especially now that Gavin has returned to the lineup after recovering from an injury. You know, are you confident that your defense can slow them down?
Oh, for sure. We got a pretty good D-line with Carter McMullen, Jack Krebs, and Connor Rainey, and they do a lot of damage. And then our backs are really well at covering the run and the pass, too.
Yeah, we were just talking to Dowling assistant Andy Pollack, and he couldn't say enough nice things about your defensive line. Those guys are pretty tough, aren't they?
Yeah, they're pretty strong, too.
Excuse me. Well, I've seen it written a couple places where your team is considered a legitimate contender to make a deep postseason run. You know, I'm sure your ultimate goal is to get to the Unidome, you know, which is the goal for every team, you know, that makes the playoffs. You know, but for some teams, maybe it's not a realistic goal. You know, in your team's case, though, do you feel like it's a realistic goal for you guys to be shooting for that?
I do. I feel like this is a year that we could go all the way and win the state title.
Well, if your team is somehow able to advance to the Class 4A semifinals, you know, you'll get a second chance to play at the Unidome this season. Of course, a couple weeks ago, you guys went up there. You lost a close 28-27 game to Cedar Falls. You know, what was it like to play in the Dome?
It was a very different environment. I mean, obviously outside, there's the weather and all that. But, like, in there, it's not the regular turf, and the air is a little dry in there, and it took a little bit to get used to.
Do you think you guys would benefit, you know, from playing there the first game, though, if you get a chance to go back there?
For sure, because we know what the environment is like there now.
Well, I did want to ask you a couple of basketball questions as well. I know your team is going to look a little different, you know, this year after, you know, you've lost a few guys. Do you think, you know, this team has a lot of potential, though?
Oh, for sure. We got three returning seniors that will be in the starting lineup, and we got some juniors that will come up and play with us, too, and I feel like we make a pretty good run this year, too.
Do you think your role is going to change at all this year?
I don't think our role is going to change at all between the three guards.
You're still going to be that energy guy, right?
Oh, for sure. Always.
Well, I think you've had some looks for both football and basketball. Are you leaning toward one sport or the other to play in college?
I think right now I'm leaning towards football. I got a lot more interest from a bunch of different colleges for football.
All right, Jordan. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman has an expert to assist you. They help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you are buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my final guest is an assistant coach at Ankeny, and he's also the son of head coach Rick Nelson. He coaches the defensive unit that has played extremely well in the team's 2-2 start. He is Nick Nelson. Nick, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you guys are just one win ahead of your pace from last year when you were 1-3 at this point. But considering that your two losses came to Ankeny Centennial and Cedar Falls by a combined 4 points, it just seems like there's a different vibe around this team, you know, this year. Do you feel like this year's team is light years ahead of where you were last year?
You know, I don't think light years. I think last year's team definitely had the making of a great football team. I think you just kind of see a progression of guys like Jordan Cum, guys like Mo Watson, and many other individuals that were a part of that team last year that have kind of started to grow up. We are very close to definitely being an undefeated football team, but I think some of those losses have taught us great things about our team.
Well, no, you guys aren't satisfied with the 2-2 mark, but you've certainly shown that you can play with the state's best team, you know, best teams. You know, both Centennial and the Cedar Falls games could have easily gone either way. You know, you guys have to draw a lot of confidence from those games, I would think.
Yeah, I think just all the hard work that our guys have put in, like Jordan said earlier, our team is just meshing so much better this year. And I think that's huge in our success.
Well, now you guys get to open up a district play on Friday against Dowling. You know, it doesn't get any tougher than that. Last year, you guys dropped a 42-0 decision to the Maroons in your district opener and then bounced back to win your last four games to qualify for the playoffs. I'm sure you feel like your team is better equipped to play with Dowling, you know, this year. What's going to be the key to pulling off the upset?
Speaking from the defensive perspective, you know, they kind of have a three-headed monster back there in the backfield. Number 31, Gavin Williams, and then their quarterback really runs very effectively for them. They have two very large O-linemen, but I think, you know, our D-line's a little bit better. But definitely stopping the run and limiting their big play capabilities are huge for the Hawk defense.
Well, I was at their game on Friday when the Maroons rushed for nearly 400 yards in the win over Centennial. You mentioned the quarterback, Hank Hemrick, led the way with 158 yards and three touchdowns. Gavin Williams made his debut for Dowling, and he rushed for 150 yards. So they got a lot of weapons, don't they?
Yeah. Yes, they do. We're going to be busy on the defensive side of the ball for sure come Friday.
Well, you guys have done a great job of defending the run this season so far. You know, if you can slow down their running game and maybe force them, you know, to throw the ball a little more, you know, that would be a good thing for you guys, wouldn't it?
We would like to get them to do that, but you know, based upon our breakdown of them, they are run dominant. But I think they have the ability, just like Cedar Falls, to be very multiple, which makes it very hard as a defense coordinator to call plays.
On Friday's win over Roosevelt, Caleb Rachi had two interceptions for your team, and Will Cornwell had another one. You know, if you guys can pick off some passes or force some turnovers of any kind, you know, that'd be really critical, wouldn't it?
Yes, that's one of our three non-negotiables on defense, turnovers. And you do a lot of research on football. Turnovers, teams that win the turnover battle are the teams that usually win the game.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your defense. Brecken Manis leads the team with 23 tackles, just ahead of fellow linebackers, Letty Tawiesha. Am I close?
Kind of, yeah. Tawiesha, yeah.
Okay, and then Mo Watson, you know, those three guys have really played well, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, they're, you know, more than that, they're great young men. They're great ambassadors to our football team within the school. And you know, it's part of what's fun about coaching defense, guys that are knowledgeable but also like to hammer some people as well.
Well, you can't talk about your defense without talking about the D-line. You know, those guys maybe don't make all, you know, a lot of the tackles, they do a good job of mucking things up and letting your linebackers make some plays, don't they?
Yes, we're very fortunate. You know, Connor Rainey has gotten a lot better since last year. Carter McMullen, who had played 2 years ago for us and didn't come out as a junior, is back out. And then we were fortunate enough for Jack Krebs to move in from California. Those three have been doing a great job. And also, we have a couple other D linemen that spell them from now and time again. Nixon Tamu comes in every once in a while, too, and does a heck of a job.
When we were talking with Andy Pollack, he mentioned Jack Krebs, and he called him the best defensive lineman that he's seen thus far, so that's a pretty nice compliment.
That's a great compliment, you know, for a young man that's moved in his senior year, you know, trying to make new friends and trying to have an identity. It's really great to see that he's having success for the Hawks.
Well, offensively, you guys have relied a lot this season, of course, on Brody Brecht, who made 14 catches for 330 yards in the first three games. But then Roosevelt elected to double-team him, you know, holding him without a catch. How do you think Dowling will defend him? Do you think they have the personnel to defend him, you know, with single coverage?
You know, I'm not for sure. I haven't really looked a whole lot at their defense. I do know that they are very effective at bringing pressure. Going to force our offense to, at times, have to get the ball out pretty quickly. But I think if we can maintain drives and then tackle effectively on defense, and then have no special teams, you know, botch-ups like we've had in our two losses, I think we're set up for a successful Friday night.
Well, your offense has also received a huge lift from sophomore running back Colin Kadolf, who has rushed for 298 yards and four touchdowns on 63 carries. He ran 34 times on Friday for 160 yards and three scores. You know, did you have any idea that Colin was going to be this good when he took over that spot?
You know, all throughout the summer, we continue to see him make pretty good cuts, you know, and he can kind of has a vision, very much so like Cale Boyd, but he's definitely a nice compliment for our offense right now.
Well, Colin's emergence, of course, has allowed Cale to focus mostly on playing defense. You know, that's been a good thing for Cale and for the defense, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely, yep. He is definitely a hammerhead back there at safety. He takes great angles, and he gets to the ball carrier with a purpose, to either strip the ball out or make sure that guy ends up on the ground.
And now after this Friday's game, you guys will close out the season with games against Hoover, Lincoln, Sioux City North, and Sioux City East. You know, I know your goal is to win the district title, but even if you would happen to lose to Dowling, you could still finish 6-3 by winning out, and you'd have to think that would get you, you know, a much better seed than last year, right?
We would hope so. You know, I think the biggest thing for us is to take one game at a time and not look too far ahead of things. You know, we do have a lot of great kids on our team, but I think we need to just make sure we focus on the game right in front of us, no matter who we're playing.
Well, of course, last year you guys, you know, got into the playoffs as a 15 seed, and then you played Val, and you took them right down to the wire, dropped a 24-21 decision. Do you think that game, you know, kind of showed your players what they were capable of?
I definitely think so. You know, I think that this year, well, stemming back from our playoff game versus Valley, all the hard work our kids have done in the offseason, our scrimmage with Valley, and then our first few games here in the season, I think we're going in with some confidence, and I think our kids should be pretty confident for how hard they've worked, and they're very knowledgeable of the sport.
Well, Nick, before I let you go, I also want to ask a couple questions about track. Of course, you're the head boys track coach at Ankeny as well. And I know you're not focusing on track right now, but you know, I did want to ask a couple questions. Last year, you guys placed sixth in the Class 4A state meet with 39 points, which is your highest finish ever. But now you're going to have to replace, you know, Tim Sint, who was one of the greatest runners, you know, in high school history here in Iowa. How do you feel about your team's prospects for next spring?
You know, I think we're hoping that we can get a couple seniors to come out who might not have been out before to help us in some of those field events and jumps. You know, we're looking for Jacob Bear to have a really big season with the implements. I think, you know, the biggest thing is getting kids out and making it fun for them. I don't know if you can ever say you can replace a Tim Sint. You know, so those points are going to have to come from other kids that step up and do great things. You know, we lost Connor Niffenegger as well, who is a definite hammer for us in hurdles and sprints. So we definitely have our work cut out for us, but I think the Ankeny Hawks are on a rise in multiple sports. And so we're very excited about the spring when that time does come around.
All right, Nick, well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Enjoy the conversation. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. I want to thank all of my guests again for coming in tonight. Enjoyed the conversation with all of them. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at Mike Stanbro, that's STANBROUGH, at iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.